Hi, welcome. You're listening to the third season of The Baker's Notebook, a podcast about home baking. I'm Stacy, a mom of two, and I enjoy baking with my kids when I'm not teaching biochemistry lab.
And I'm Mia, a romance author and home baker. We're two longtime friends who met and bonded over the perfect apple pie. Bake along with us as we find new recipes to try. Listen as we compare notes about our successes and inevitable failures in the kitchen. Learn along with us as we become better home bakers, one delicious recipe at a time. This week, we're baking pansy-topped shortbread from the website The View from Great Island. Bake along with us.
Mia, what made you pick this recipe?
So I came across edible flour-topped shortbread when I was browsing different baking accounts on Instagram. And a friend of mine who lives in Arizona hipped me to this this particular baker named Loria Stern. And her thing is to use edible flowers, edible plants, botanicals in all of her baking, and to use all natural colors. And if you take a look at what she makes, if you take a look at her website, everything is so beautiful. The cookies are round, flat little shortbread discs. They look really delicate. And then she just kind of presses different kinds of flowers, tiny flowers on top. And they're just absolutely stunning. And so I was curious about trying them. I went on her website and she does sell the cookies there. And then I clicked on the site for the cookies that I wanted to buy. And there was one dozen of them and they were $50.
Oh boy.
And okay. I said, maybe we can do this at home.
That's like macaron prices.
I know. And I feel like if you have the money for luxury items like this, absolutely give it a try because the things are beautiful and they're handcrafted and she's an artisan. I have a garden. Maybe I could do this. I mean, shortbread cookies are flour, butter, sugar. Like we've made cookies or we've made crusts and things like this. I thought that this would be a different kind of recipe for us to try, something like that's highly visually striking, something that you could serve at a party or at a bridal shower or, you know, something really nice outside. You know, it's springtime, the weather's heating up. You want to show off your baking skills. Like, I think these, even though they're not difficult, like they're stunning, absolutely stunning. Have you ever cooked with edible flowers before?
Nope, I haven't. But I've had them before. Like I've had nasturtiums and pansies, but actually, honestly, more like in salads.
Yeah.
And things like that. Never on a cookie before. And I had never heard of this. I didn't know about this trend, about these putting flowers on cookies. You know, I've seen fresh flowers put onto cakes.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. But you usually don't eat those ones. They're just kind of there.
Right.
You know,
and that's an important distinction because we're using edible flowers. And a lot of the times when you see flowers on a baked good, it's just for decoration. You're going to take it off and you're just going to eat the cake or whatever by itself. These are part of the recipe. These are meant to be eaten.
Right, right, right. And I think when you see pansies in a salad, though, you do eat them. Right. And sometimes there's dandelions and things like that kind of within the greens. But I've never seen it on a baked good. And it was interesting, though, because you mentioned your garden. Do you grow pansies?
I grow nasturtiums. I have some lavender right now, but I didn't have any pansies for this recipe growing in my garden right now, which is very overgrown and a bit neglected. And I need to clear it out for all the springtime plantings that I'm excited to do for summer. So this time I actually had to find some edible pansies, which can be a bit of an adventure. Let's talk about our edible pansy adventure, shall we?
Okay, I guess one distinction, because I said, they're edible pansies, and someone said, are there non-edible pansies? And I said, no, I guess the only difference would be you want to make sure that there's not pesticides on them, right?
Right, right, right.
So if you're growing them yourself and you know that you didn't put pesticides on them, they're an edible pansy, right?
Right.
I bought mine, but I bought plants, and I went to Home Depot. And the gardening section. And I don't know, there might be pesticides on them. So what I did was I snipped them and then I washed them.
Okay.
And to make sure that they would be clean. And I feel like that's what you would do, you know, with a piece of fruit, right? That you bring home, a non-organic piece of fruit or even organic freezers. I still wash them, but right. you know, I washed it and then I pressed it myself. And then I planted the pansies in my yard, very excited to have an endless supply of pansies to put in salads, which is really just dinner for the local bunnies.
They were
I have not had a single new pansy come up. However, exactly. However, I can see that the pansy plants are being well appreciated based on the bite marks. So that brilliant idea failed. But I did have enough to make these beautiful. Well, actually, I think I was like four pansies short. So I used rainbow sprinkles or rainbow sugar on the ones.
Fair enough.
Just to be colorful, and it was perfectly fine. And so, but you know, it's interesting though, because I went on Amazon and I did edible pansies, and they are selling pansies printed with edible ink on rice paper.
Wow.
So they're not real pansies.
They are edible though.
They are edible, but I wanted real pansies.
Yeah.
And so how did you have an adventure getting your pansy?
I did have an adventure. The pansies, you know, the thing is, like, pansies have a little flavor to them, and they're all, you know, the natural product. There's variations, different colors. I wanted to have a really beautiful plate of shortbread. So I found a company online that sells and ships edible flowers, and they're based in San Diego, so not too far away. I paid for the overnight shipping because you have to, you know, it's one day. Mm-mm-mm. And they send them to you on dry ice and packaged very carefully.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I bought 50 pansies.
Is that the smallest box?
The smallest box.
Okay. And it's not the plants. It's just literally the flowers.
Just literally the flowers snipped off the plant.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And they were all different colors. They were beautiful.
Oh, wow.
So what I did is I pressed them. I looked up how she recommends pressing them in this recipe. She recommends, you know, taking the stems off any fresh pansies and then pressing the flowers between sheets of parchment paper or wax paper using heavy books. Mm-hmm. And she just says to let them sit for 30 minutes.
Yeah, mine was a lot longer than that.
Which seems like just a little bit of amount of time. I did it overnight, personally.
Okay.
And I had lots of heavy books because I have tons of cookbooks. They were perfect for this.
Yeah.
But the next day, like, they're not going to be the dried pressed flowers that you may have seen in like artwork or like when you think of like Victorian pressed flowers, like, which are usually totally dry. Mm-hmm. You did yours like a couple of weeks in advance. Yeah,
mine were totally dry. Mine were those flowers.
Okay.
That, you know, people glue onto like greeting cards.
Right. So what was your process of doing that? Because mine was funky. How did yours work out?
They worked out great. I mean, I did mine because I had washed them and everything. I did mine between two paper towels just in case there was any residual moisture from washing them. Mm-hmm. Although I did dry them first in paper towels because I was, you know, you don't want mold or anything like that growing. So I dried them, but then still used paper towels on the counter, put the pansies, paper towel on top, grabbed Kenji Lopez's alt food lab book.
Gigantic.
And then 2 5-pound bags of rice on top.
Wow.
Of that.
You're not
so
messing
there was
around.
A lot going on. These flowers were definitely getting pressed and then kind of forgot about them.
Oh, cool.
For like, I would say a good 2 weeks.
Oh, that's a long time.
So they were really dry. They were really dried. They were paper thin. Like they could have been printed on rice paper. Mm-hmm. Super thin. And I thought perfect. And my thought was, ooh, if I have any leftovers, this is going to be an art and craft project. But I did not have any leftovers because I did not have enough pansies.
The flowers, did they hold their color?
They did hold their color. I mean,
amazing.
When you look at art, you know, like people who use it in craft projects, they are still colored, you know, nicely colored. Beautiful. My niece was like, oh, I want the purple one. She's about to turn 4. I want the purple one. And then when she ate the purple one, she didn't really care what the next color was. She just wanted more.
Perfect. This was a really delicious shortbread recipe, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I know you've made, you know, shortbread in the past. Mm-hmm. This one is interesting because it's all made in the food processor. At least I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's different.
Okay, I was going to say, do you usually make your shortbread in the food processor?
No, I make pie crust, though.
Yes. And so I just thought this was interesting because I do pie crust in the food processor, but shortbread I usually do in my mixing bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But this was in the food, and I followed this. I did it in the food processor.
With soft butter, which surprised me.
Yes.
How did you feel about this dough? What was your experience with this dough?
Well, it says, you make the dough, mm-hmm. and then you put it in a flat disc, wrap it in plastic, and refrigerate until firm enough to roll, about 2 hours. I don't know how long I put it in the fridge. It wasn't overnight or anything like that. I put it in. I had some things to do. I came back to it, and it was like rock hard.
Rock hard.
I was like, I can't roll this. So then I just left it out for like a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and then rolled it. And the way I rolled it was I rolled it between two pieces of plastic wrap.
Oh, smart.
And then, but now it's like super soft. So you're supposed to just cut it out and then bake it, you know, preheat your oven. Cut it out and then bake these things. So what I did was I cut them out, put them on my cookie sheets, and then put those cookie sheets in the fridge.
In the freezer. Yeah. I put mine in the freezer. Mm-hmm.
I have room in my freezer. So mine went in the fridge to sort of firm up because if not, right, they would have spread too much, I think. And you want those nice round discs.
Right.
So I think it's very important for the dough to be
cold,
chilled when you put mm-hmm. it in the oven. And I think that's just true of cookies that you want to hold their shape.
So this recipe says that the cookies should be baked in batches, one tray at a time. Mm-hmm. We bake them, a smaller size cookie, for 7 to 8 minutes. And then larger ones for 9 to 11 minutes, depending on the thickness. And they should be very pale and soft. I took these out, I believe, at 8 minutes. And then the directions say to immediately press a flour on the top of the cookies, and the heat of the cookie will adhere the flour magically to the top of the cookie. What was this experience like for you? Did this work exactly as the recipe says?
Well, so I baked my cookies longer than you did.
Okay.
Mine were 2-inch round, so they weren't large in diameter. I thought they were an eighth to a quarter of an inch thick, so I didn't think they were very thick at all. But it was interesting, though, because I usually look for a kind of browning color, you know, like a golden color. But this does say they will be pale. Mm-hmm. When done. So I did have to keep that in mind. But I thought 11 minutes, they were still quite pale on top, but on the bottom I got some nice coloring to them. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked that. And I did like the final product of the cookie. I did take it out immediately and then went to adhere the flowers. And for the most part, they said I also had a brush, like a what you would use for even like painting a picture kind of brush, like soft bristles,
mm-hmm.
a small brush, like maybe the diameter of it is like the diameter of my pinky, you know, in terms of the bristles.
Okay.
A soft bristle brush. And what I did was I quickly placed the flour on there and then just sort of brushed it to push it down. Cause I was afraid of like poking the cookie with my finger.
Oh, that's smart.
So I felt like a brush would like push it down, because when you put it on, the heat of the cookie made some of them, which was weird because I pressed them all at the same time, some of the flour seemed to want to curl up.
Right.
So the brush was there to help me push it, like flatten it. so that it wouldn't get all curly. And then, yeah, and it magically stuck.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Did yours magically stick?
Mine did too, but my cookies weren't entirely dry. So they were flat, but they still had like a little bit of moisture on them. And I wonder if like the steam from the cookie made the flour stick super fast because they just went whoop, and it stuck right away.
Oh, see, maybe I baked mine too long.
You know, my cookies were really, really, really soft though. Like they were hard to handle after they were cool. So they were super, super delicate. And I think if I were to do this again, I would cook them just a little bit longer. Even if they did get the color, mine I felt were like super delicate. And if you were going to have these for a party, like you'd get frustrated because they would fall apart as you were like transferring them to a tray or to a
They were
plate.
that delicate.
They were super delicate. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mine weren't that delicate. I was able to
Yeah.
put mine into a container and it was
And
okay.
bang them around a little.
I don't know about banging them around, but I was able to, have them plate, put on a platter, put in a container, and that was good. So they were beautiful though.
They're such pretty cookies. I think the next time I do this, I would do this for a bridal shower, maybe a baby shower,
Yeah.
something, where
Mother's
you're
Day,
Mother's
Mother's Day
Day
brunch.
would be really cool. But next time I think I'm going to press them as long as you did because the overnight press I felt was a little bit, it wasn't enough. The cookies were not, I mean, the flours were not delicate enough. There is like that center part with like a little bit of green left in the middle of the flour to keep the petals together. And I felt like that was almost like a vegetable in the middle of a cookie. I don't know how to
Oh,
describe it.
in terms of how it tasted?
Yeah, it almost tasted a little bit like
Oh.
cucumber. Like it's not unpleasant, but the texture wasn't quite right.
Oh, I can tell you that I didn't have that issue. So yeah, I think pressing it longer is a great idea.
I think that it would make for a much more delicate flour and something that'll fall apart and kind of like melt in your mouth. Whereas this, you had
Yeah.
to, there was a little chewing involved.
Oh yeah, no, mine was kind of like is this really a flour or is it the, kind of like the rice paper flour, I bet
Oh,
would be
see,
similar.
yeah, I would go for that kind of magic.
Yeah. It worked really well with the cookie.
Stacy, what are we baking next week?
I'm excited about next week. Next week, we're doing Julia Child's beef bourguignon.
Thanks for baking along with us this week. For links to the recipes and other notes, please check out our website, www.thebakersnotebook.com, or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Baker's Notebook. You can leave us a voice message on our website if you'd like to be featured on the show. If you bake any of these recipes, please make sure to tag us on social media. We'd love to see what you create. Until next time, happy baking!